Awesome. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's because I yelled. Awesome. Yeah, we had fun up at winter camp a couple weeks ago, and I'm just wondering who that ball guy was in that video. Man, a little bit of feedback. All right, how are you?
Good.
Doing good?
Yes.
How many know it's a happy thing to be in the house of the Lord? Amen.
Yes.
It's just a happy thing because you're with people who love Jesus and filled with His Spirit. How many just know that inside of you, living inside of you, is the greatest power on the planet?
Yeah.
And Scripture says that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave.
Amen.
The reason we have Easter.
That's right.
That same Spirit lives in you. That's enough to ruin your life. In a good way.
That's right.
You missed the joke there. Some of you are way too serious this morning. Boy, way too serious this morning. It's just fun to love God and be loved by Him. Just do me a favor, lay your hand on the person next to you, and just, I want you to take 30 seconds, and just bless them, prophesy to them, and without being religious or anything else, just, I mean, if you're wondering what prophecy is, just give them a good word, just pray a good word, but here's what I want us to do, just say, Father, awaken life. At a new dimension, resurrection life on my neighbor. Resurrection life. Lord, just release life. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, God, like on steroids. Stir it up. Lord, just huge, big life. Resurrection life and power. Come alive. Just prophesy that. Come alive now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. 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 Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, now listen. I just believe that the world is desperately waiting. The world is desperately hunger for the power of God in God's people to be demonstrated and active. Like, there's a lot of solutions that we can come up with, a lot of nice ideas that we can come up with, but nothing ever takes the place of the power of God flowing through His people to bring lasting change. And you have that power. You know what's great about the Holy Spirit is He wants out. He's not content just like hanging out inside of here. I mean, he loves that being his home, but he likes to leave home. He really does. And so, Father, I just break off right now anything of a religious spirit or understanding that says that is not for me. You lying spirit, we command you to loose right now every ear, every heart listening to my voice now in Jesus' name. And I just release, God, a revelation understanding that we are carriers of the greatest power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that dunamis, Jesus, that you said you would give to us, Lord, when you went to the Father. Lord, I'm asking now, let the revelation of that understanding come now. Let it just begin to click, Lord God, right now over each of our hearts that we would understand we carry that power. We carry dynamite. Father, I just release that in this room in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, good morning again. I want to continue in our gospel series. So get ready to turn to Matthew chapter 8 or scroll to Matthew 8, whatever the case may be. Are you awake this morning?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to see if I can remember how to do this. It's been a couple weeks since I've preached. We were going to have a testimony, but we'll save that for later. But I want to ask the question, how many of you have released the kingdom in the last 10 days? How many of you, like outside the four walls, you have had a chance to just lay hands on somebody, pray for somebody, prophesy to somebody, lead somebody to Jesus, lift your hand right here, you're crossing the chicken line. Good job. Way to be. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. Come on. Heaven celebrates that. That's awesome. That's what we're doing. Listen, that's what God is doing on the planet. The reason we're going through the Gospels, we're not just entering into them for a nice Bible study. We're going through the Gospels to create a culture where living out the supernatural power of God is normal Christianity. We're trying to establish in our house an understanding that what Jesus did when he lived on the earth, he didn't do as God to impress us. Come on. He didn't do these things as God to impress us, because if that's what he was doing, then we would just worship him and praise him, but have no inclination to do something about it. What Jesus was doing on the planet that we read about in that 3.5 year period of ministry was he was introducing a kingdom lifestyle. Come on, get this with me. He was introducing a kingdom lifestyle that says when the king shows up, he brings a whole different world with him and a whole new realm of possibility. And I want us to be captured again by the freshness of what was happening. The people that we read about in these accounts, they had never seen nor heard what's being done among them. Like in their life, they've never seen it. They heard about things in the past. But now, all of a sudden, demonstrated in front of them is this power, is this authority, is this life, is this love that's absolutely attractive and it's changing everything around them. And I'm telling you, Jesus came to demonstrate that's what's possible. That's what you and I signed up for. That the moment the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence inside of us, there's a whole new realm of possibility that we can live in and release, so that really the changes that our society needs, again, are lasting change, not temporary, just society fixes.
Yes, and amen.
And so I want to light a fire inside of you. I just want there to be a fire that's stirred up inside of you. Friends, like, we've got to divorce ourselves from religious thinking, like, forever.
Yeah.
Forever. I want to just tell you, here's the warning about a religious spirit. The thing is so doggone sneaky. And here's the bummer about it. You can, listen, a religious spirit likes to follow revelation. So that's something that is revealed and exploded in our heart. If we don't steward that quickly on the tails of that, is this religious thing that likes to try to make that into a formula and into just this dead, lifeless tradition. Are you with me?
Yep.
Right.
And so really, having a heart of hunger is so key, because it's in that place of hunger that says, God, I so long for food that comes straight from heaven. We call that revelation. I so long and hunger for that anything turning that into a religious duty or tradition, it just grosses me out. I don't have an appetite for that anymore. So let me say amen to that.
Amen.
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 And so, yeah, all right, enough said on that. I better preach. Okay, here we go. So Matthew 8, are you there? Matthew 8, look at the verse. We are at verse 14. I want to read that. I want to review a couple of things real quick and then just give you some things to chew on. All right, so Matthew 8, 14. And it says, the word says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw Peter's wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And so he touched her. He touched her hand. This same account is recorded in Mark 8, as well as Luke 4. And both Matthew and Mark identify the touching aspect. They don't mention that he says anything. Luke picks up on this idea that Jesus rebuked the fever, and so I'll unpack that in a second. But listen, I just love Jesus. So he comes in, he sees her with fever, and he touches her hand, and the fever left her. Somebody just shout, glory.
Amen.
And she arose and served them. She fixes them a meal. So when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits, listen to this now, with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I want to just put a comma there and say again, guard your heart and mind from going to a place that says, yea, God, Jesus, you're incredible, but that I can never do that. Like, you're living at a realm that's so much higher. Sure, Jesus, you would do that because you're God. No, let's not go there. Rather, let's allow something of the freshness of the Holy Spirit to say, that is possible for me. Jesus is living out a job description for Christians.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. He's demonstrating normal Christianity when we're living life in His kingdom. And so, are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to just real quick review where we've been. We're talking about the Gospels. We're really laying a foundation for a culture to be established here where power-filled lifestyle is normal Christianity. This past week, I had a tremendous opportunity. It just blessed my heart. This happened to be inside the four walls of a church, but I was at a gathering of pastors, and one particular church brought about 15 young men who were sold out, radically on fire. If you think Victory Outreach, this was the flavor of young men. Fired up on loving Jesus with passion. How many think that's just an incredible quality? Amen. And so I was blessed by that. And so in a meet and greet time, I happened to be talking to one of these young men, and he came up, just this fire of God, this passion on him. But it was really evident to me that he had not been introduced or had much experience in power.
Yeah.
And so that's not to diminish anything about what God was doing in his heart, but just this on fire young man. And so God gives me a word. I mean, just like boom, just like that, drops a word in my heart. I began to release this word, and you could tell he began to drink of a stream he had never tasted before.
Amen. Awesome.
And he just began to weep, and just like, whoa. I mean, this thing overwhelmed him. Listen. The lifestyle of a kingdom lifestyle is what we're called to. That's what it's about. It's the whole thing. I want passion and power. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want the whole thing. And so we talked about the gospel of salvation versus the gospel of the kingdom. I don't want to go through all of that, but let me just say this. The gospel of salvation focuses on saving from sin and Satan. The gospel of the kingdom focuses on salvation, spirit, soul, and body. It's so easy to talk gospel of salvation when we don't have a context for the kingdom of God being present and active here and now. Are you understanding this? So if I lead somebody to Jesus, I'm able to tell them with confidence that Jesus Christ went to the cross to save you from your sin and to make a way for you to spend eternity in heaven. That is wonderful news. However, if I don't give them the full gospel of the kingdom, and again, Luke here, in this same passage we'll read in a second, Luke ends his account by saying that Jesus spoke to the masses and told them, I can't stay with you, I have to go to the next town because it's my commission to preach the kingdom of God. And so read through Jesus' one sermon, the kingdom of God, and he explains to you what he means. It's not just an eternal salvation, it is salvation, spirit, soul, and body, which comes when his kingdom is present in the here and now. So if I preach the gospel of salvation, that's wonderful for an eternal work and something to look forward to, but it has no impact on the here and now. And so I can divorce myself from the supernatural invading this planet. Church, it's why, by and large, the church is uncomfortable when we start getting into supernatural activity. Because we can preach a future gospel. And we can preach that I'm saved right now and all that glory. Yeah, Revelation, it's weird, but it's heaven. It's not earth activity. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this gospel of the kingdom, how many of Jesus just began to demonstrate things that were weird and freaked out the religious?
Yes. Right.
He began to demonstrate this kingdom, this other world, this other planet, that you can do things that this planet says you can't normally do. You can touch a leper, and in this planet, you get leprosy. In his kingdom, the leper receives healing. Yeah. You can walk into places where there's a demoniac that nobody ever wants to go near that place, and they have ostracized this man, that he's a freak and he's weird. He breaks. Listen, how do we know? Because we've tried to bind him before. And what does he do? He breaks those chains. And so we walk around where he lives. Jesus comes and actually puts his boat on the shore of where that guy lives and says, I want you to know, in my world, people like you get set free.
Amen.
Yes.
So I was contemplating whether there's this thing that God put on my heart. I didn't know if I'd have a chance to say it here, and here it is. It's the time to say it. I just believe that God right now is raising up an army of people, like a whole multitude of his people, who function that way, who no longer are afraid of darkness and walk on the other side of the road to avoid it, but who understand they're commissioned by God to confront it, destroy the works of the devil. Not that we're looking for a needless fight, but people who are so commissioned by God because they know their Father, that they're actually drawn and called to places of darkness that need lights penetrating. I believe we're living in days where you're going to see radical warriors raised up like this. My prayer is that I'm looking at a company of people right here called The Fountain who will be forerunners in that move.
Yes.
And so my heart's cry, I'll tell you what my heart's cry is right now, is just thinking about this day, because I read on Friday in our local paper that they just caught a young man. If you've been driving around Moore Park lately, you've seen more graffiti. Well, they caught the young man who's responsible for that in a certain neighborhood. Please hear me. In a certain neighborhood that is 2 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
6 months before that, they arrested in the same neighborhood somebody who is a suspect for murder. 2 minutes away from here. And I just got to tell you, I don't want anybody here to feel condemned. I want to usher out a cry. Here's my cry. And I want to let this go in the spirit realm. So if somebody else is supposed to answer this, let it happen. But here's my cry. Where is the missionary? Where's the missionary called by God to Flory Street? Where's the Mother Teresa anointing that would fall on somebody who says, you don't want to go there? I'll go there. And I'll live in the place, and I'll love people until they're commissioned and called by God to come in a relationship with him. Like, where's the radicals who'll say, I'll give it up, man. I'll give it up. Even if I'm a freak, I will give it up. I will be a radical for Jesus, because that's what God's doing on the planet. Listen, he's looking for radicals.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
He has stadiums filled with spectators. But he's looking for radicals who would say, it's not enough for me to say I believe, but through a lifestyle, let me demonstrate this conviction that Jesus is the answer for Flory Street.
Yes.
And it's not a one-time visitation. Well, we'll do a wow jam, and we've done them. I'll tell you what, I would love to do another wow jam. I would. But I'm not going to do another wow jam. If you don't know what that is, I don't have time to say what it is. It's an awesome outreach. People get saved. I don't want to do another one of those until the next breath I can say, and here's a church in your community. You don't have to walk 2 miles to come to the fountain. We're going to come to you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to serve you. And we're going to love you. And we'll demonstrate kingdom, whether it's feeding you or healing your sick. We want to demonstrate it all.
Yeah.
Amen.
All. For a lasting social change.
Yeah. Amen.
Where's the missionary? I want to ask another question. Where are the missionaries? Because I've been praying for them for a long time. I've been praying for two types of missionaries. Where are the missionaries for the fountain children? I don't want children's workers. I know I'm being heavy, but I get to. Because I've been out of the pulpit for 2 weeks. But we're the missionaries, listen, called by God, a flame set inside of them that says, I am called, listen, to the children of the Fountain Church. to raise them up as revivalists who are going to take this thing and run further than me, because that pulpit is more important than this one. I'm just telling you right now, where's the missionaries? Not the children's care workers. We can all do that. I'm asking God for called out, singled out. They have the call of God. I can't run from it. I can't escape it. I know God has singled me out. I'm called to lead those kids into kingdom glory. Amen. And if I don't answer that call, man, I'm like messed up. Is this too strong?
No.
Good.
No.
Here's another one. I've been asking God for years, Lord, send missionaries. I mean, hey, God bless, and we're a global church. We're impacting the globe. We really are. And we're about that. That's part of our vision. I'm asking God also for a missionary to the children of Moore Park. A missionary. It's on them. It's their call. It's their purpose. It's why God created them. Called to the children of our city. I'm asking God for, where are they? Are they in this room? I hope. How many would join me in that prayer? How many would join me in that petition before the throne? God, release missionaries. Release missionaries. And how many would even be, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of this, how many would be daring enough to say, here am I, send me. Got quiet really fast. It always does at that part in the sermon. Bless the Lord. You're still too serious. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're the missionaries, God. We're the kingdom workers. Jesus said it this way, because I think the disciples caught on to this. And at one point, you remember, they pulled Jesus aside, and there's a multitude, and Jesus looks out on the multitude, and the Bible says his heart was moved. Here's this word again, with compassion. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he pulls the disciples aside, a life lesson. He says, guys, I want you to see what I see. You see a multitude of people. I see a flock that needs a shepherd. Pray therefore, this is what Jesus said, pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to release laborers into that field. Here's why. Why? Because you say 4 more months and then comes the harvest. I'm telling you, the harvest is white and it's ready now.
Yeah.
Now. You know what we oftentimes, you know the problem is, I think sometimes for the church, we pray for a harvest that's already ready.
Right.
Where Jesus would say, no, actually, don't pray for the harvest, because I've actually got this thing prepared. You need workers to get it done. We're praying for harvest when we need to pray for laborers. I'm glad we received the offering before I said this sermon, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hey, just, I feel the Holy Spirit. Ask God for a heart for his people. Thank you, Father.
Cry out for the laborers, Father God.
Thank you, Father.
Raise up the laborers, Father.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Your people, Father God, are an army, Father God, powered by your...
Thank you, God.
By you, Lord God, from heaven. Lord, if there's any chains, Father God, are holding us back, Lord, I just pray in your name, Father God.
Thank you, Father.
Right now.
Yes. Thank you.
That we would go out, Father God, and march, Lord Jesus, through this city, Father God, as warriors, Father God, as ambassadors, Father God, as your people, Lord God. And we break the walls of the enemy, Father God, today. In your name, Lord.
Thank you, God.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound, disciplined mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, let that spirit of love come upon us for the lost.
Yes, God. Friends, let me just all this talk about harvest, and it's how many of you know, first of all, it's a prophetic word for this hour. There's a harvest coming. But all that talk about harvest, you know, can I just say it means, I think intellectually we can grasp it. But unless you know nine T-ballers in our city and their parents that need Jesus, unless you know Jack and Lucian, unless you know and you sat with Frank and his wife last night as I did in a wedding, who live in this city. We can talk about harvest. We can talk about sheep. Do you have names to people? That you're partnering with and you're living life with, and your heart's cries that they would know Jesus. I'm not even an evangelist, man. I don't know why I'm crying like this, but we won't get it done unless our hearts are pierced to another level. I want to make a confession to you. You can stop the recording.